This is Dawning Crises, a Star Wars prequel trilogy fanfic written by Willowcrowned and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is PG-13 and is Jyn, featuring the relationship between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker, and deep background Anakin Skywalker, Padme Amidala. With additional tags for Anakin's Guide on How Not to Handle a Crisis, Obi-Wan's Guide to Leaving Your Idiot Best Friend to Handle His Own Goddamn Problems. In this house, we don't use Star Wars swears. Rated for language. Obi-Wan is an early riser, a fact bemoaned both by his old master, who preferred nighttime meditation to Obi-Wan's sunrises, and by his old Padawan, who required ample sleep, calf, and the stars to be in an impossible alignment to wake up at sunrise without complaining. During the war, of course, Obi-Wan slept when he could and woke when he needed to. But what with Dooku's convenient betrayal of Sidious, and the subsequent systemic destruction of every single one of the old Sith's plans, Obi-Wan has been able to return to a normal schedule. Anakin, it seems, has not followed his lead. It's 5:45 in the morning. The sun is just beginning to pass the horizon, and Obi-Wan has 20 voicemails from Anakin. The last dated half an hour ago. Obi-Wan deliberates just leaving the voicemails and meditating on the balcony. But he considers, it's Anakin, which means that there's a decent chance he's calling about property damage that's entirely his fault, but that will somehow become Obi-Wan's problem. It should be Padme's job to deal with Anakin-related problems now, what with her making the nigh-incomprehensible decision to marry him. Anakin should be calling her, not him. But Obi-Wan frowns. Anakin might, for once, have a valid and non-criminal reason for calling him. It's theoretically possible. Maybe life without hiding a secret marriage has miraculously mellowed him out. Obi-Wan clicks on the most recent one. It's only 15 seconds long, which does not bode well, and settles in to watch. In the hollow, Anakin is sitting on a slouchy leather couch that's worn and faded, which, come to think of it, looks a lot like Garen's old one. Obi-Wan has a moment of deep mistrust of the couch. He doesn't even know half of what's happened on it, but he knows enough to know that he doesn't want to be within 2 meters of the thing. And a brief moment of horror, as he considers where and when Anakin might have gotten a hold of that particular one. But he sets it aside for the moment. Anakin is clearly not at the Senator's house, though Obi-Wan has no idea where he is. It's certainly not the temple, unless the temple has recently acquired gray duracrete walls covered in old pod racing posters, and a ranking list that says, near-death experiences in the last month. No, Anakin, getting chewed out by Obi-Wan isn't a near-death experience, because we've all survived it. With ANSK at the top with 13, right above QIVO with 12.5. How, Obi-Wan wonders errantly, does one achieve half a near-death experience? And why is there a chart with monthly rankings? Anakin looks an utter mess. His eyes are puffy, there seems to be a light sheen of sweat across his face, and he has the alternating flushed-slash-pale look that Obi-Wan associates with people so incredibly drunk that they're about to vomit on his shoes. Anakin slumps back in the hollow, falling ungracefully onto the couch, And the movement reveals that he is holding a jug of what looks to be the 501st's latest batch of moonshine. Ah, Obi-Wan thinks. That would explain Anakin's state. The clones make their liquor strong. Strong enough to get even a Jedi drunk.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Anakin slurs, looking off to the side of his comm.
You may only hurt.
Then he leans over and vomits. And the message ends. Charming, Obi-Wan remarks, already regretting his decision to look at the recordings. He selects another one, about 10 voicemails and 3 hours before the one he'd just seen. And Anakin pops up, much less drunk.
I just love them so much,
he says, apparently not having realized that the recording just started.
They're Obi-Wan!
Anakin sniffs, and to Obi-Wan's horror, starts crying. Obi-Wan looks at the hollow, askance. Anakin doesn't cry. He screams, he rages, he occasionally breaks plates and short-circuits light bulbs, but he doesn't cry.
They're so small!
Anakin says, not bothering to wipe away his tears.
Their heads! Obi-Wan, their heads! They're like...
He makes a vague shape with his hands.
Like a fruit. But smaller and softer and squishier.
Anakin looks stricken.
They're so squishy. What if I kill them?
He repeats himself, slightly more panicked.
Obi-Wan, what if I kill them?
The recording ends. Oh dear, Obi-Wan murmurs, an unsettling suspicion growing. He chooses the 16th message, desperately hoping that Anakin is going to say something to contradict Obi-Wan's theory. Anakin is still spread out on the couch.
It's...
Anakin looks vaguely confused for a second, before his eyes refocus on the calm.
It's just... I mean, I'm drunk. I'm 23 and I'm drunk.
Oh, all you, Obi-Wan mutters.
I can't, like, Obi-Wan, why did you let me get...
He pauses, hiccuping.
Drunk. I'm drunk.
He sighs.
You're fucking drunk.
He pauses.
No, me. But you shouldn't have.
He slurs.
You shouldn't have let me, you know.
The message ends. Obi-Wan's mouth creases, and he opens the 8th one. Anakin is unsteady, leaning forward and glaring at Obi-Wan with the sort of fury born of terror that Obi-Wan's only seen a few times.
How the fuck?
Anakin swears.
Did you raise me? I'm a fucking disaster, and...
He adds.
And then you put me in charge of Ahsoka. What the hell were you thinking? She was a kid. She is a kid. I'm a fucking... Like... I mean, Obi-Wan, what the hell were you thinking?
Obi-Wan snorts. Leave it to Anakin to have a crisis over being responsible for a kid only after he's been absolved of any responsibility but teaching her street-raising tips and giving her pep talks. Obi-Wan opens the 5th one. Anakin looks nearly sober in this one, at least compared to his state in the first recording. though his movements are over-exaggeratedly careful enough to show that he's been drinking.
Obi-Wan,
he says, tucked in on himself on the couch like a pretzel. He runs his fingers through his already messy hair, eyes wide.
What do I do? I'm not ready for this. I don't even have a dad. And Padme is so incredible. But she's busy with the Senate, and that's awesome, except for when she hasn't slept in 2 days and has to wear that weird-smelling extra-heavy foundation to cover up the bags under her eyes. But she's so nice, and she keeps telling me that I'm great, and, like, I know I'm decent with the Kreishlings, but those are, like, whole kids, and...
Anakin runs his fingers through his hair again.
Fuck. Why am I asking you?
He ends the message. The suspicion that had been growing settles heavily in Obi-Wan's stomach. He bites the bullet and clicks on the first message. Anakin is pacing in front of the couch, hair askew from how many times he's run his fingers through it.
Obi-Wan,
he says, an air of panic all around him.
Padme is pregnant. With twins. And I'm the father.
Obi-Wan feels an impending headache as his suspicions are confirmed. He looks outside to where the sun has already risen and abruptly sets down the comm and goes back to his bedroom. There's not a snowball's chance in hell that Anakin will have managed to work through his fatherhood crisis by the time Obi-Wan awakes, but Obi-Wan is nothing if not an optimist. After all, Anakin's calls were valid and entirely non-criminal. If Anakin can do that much, then maybe there's a chance he can figure it all out on his own. It's Obi-Wan's only hope. The end. Author's notes. A couple fun facts I couldn't find a way to fit into the main work. Anakin is calling Obi-Wan from the apartment he and the less Jedi-esque Jedi have on Coruscant. Obi-Wan isn't allowed to know about it, partially because he likes to make dealers go home and rethink their lives, which would put a damper on their periodic smoke space weed and bitch nights. And partially because he'd consistently beat the rest of them on the near-death experiences ranking chart. Quinlan Vos's half of a near-death experience was getting yelled at by Mace Windu with a lit lightsaber. Windu probably wouldn't have killed him, but Ciri, who is alive, fuck the timeline, and Garen ruled that it counted as a half of one because it's terrifying but not decidedly lethal. Anakin, who used to get yelled at by Windu on an almost daily basis, argued that it shouldn't count at all. Voicemail number 17 was Anakin sobbing into a pillow for 3 minutes straight.